Hello and welcome to Break the Mold, where I share inspiring stories and interview people who have shattered ceilings, crushed their goals, are serving and slaying in life, and of course, have broken the mold. Okay, we are back with another episode of Break the Mold, and I am very excited for our guest today. It is one of my old cheerleaders, who I'm sure is going to have some great stories to tell. We have Megan here today. So Megan, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, it's so crazy how this is like the hardest question you'll ever get. It's like you forget everything about yourself. I am a cheer coach. I've been coaching for a little over 10 years. I love to work out. I love to eat food. My dog is my obsession. And yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Okay. Well, how do we know each other?
Ashley coached me when I was, I want to say I was like 15.
I would say, yeah, I was 15. Probably about 15.
Yeah. And I remember the day I got you as a coach because like, I didn't have you the season before. And I remember like your name popped up as the coach of the team that I was on the second season. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Ugh, she's so, whoa. Okay. But I remember the first week into it, you were like one of my favorite coaches. You were so real. And I realized you actually weren't crazy. You were just honest. And it was my favorite thing about you.
Honest and passionate. I will say that like when I coach, I am so hard. I have such high expectations.
100%.
They come backed with so much love.
Yeah.
You will always know that I love you. And I invited you on the podcast because I feel like you have broken a mold and you are doing amazing things in the cheer industry, the weightlifting industry. You're just doing, honestly, just amazing things with your life. And recently you kind of went through a little bit of setback, and instead of taking that setback and letting it, you know, defeat you, you have been determined and then have done so many things with that setback. So do you want to tell us a little bit about anything about that or get moving forward with what you're doing now?
So I'm a little limited with the details that I can share, just generally speaking. But, you know, one thing that I can say is that this particular setback definitely shook up my plan a little bit. And it was interesting because it actually kind of, it changed the whole direction of what I'm doing right now. And it propelled me into a position that I honestly wasn't ready to step into for another few months. And at first I was really scared, and it was really unpredictable as to how it was going to go. But ever since it's happened, it has been the coolest experience to kind of step out of my comfort zone and try something completely different and meet all these incredible people, start networking. And it's made me realize there's a whole other world outside of what I've known for so long. And it's opened up doors that I couldn't even imagine would open. And it's made me have this new realization about my capability and find a new confidence within myself and what I can do as a coach. And I've learned so much. It's just been a whole new avenue in terms of where my life is going. And I'm super excited to see what happens.
I'm super excited to watch what happens. How would you say that you navigated through the challenges post setback, and what positive changes did you experience?
You know, it's interesting when you have a plan and you expect yourself to see that plan through. I think anytime there's deviation of that plan, there's kind of like a, oh crap moment. You know, how is it going to go? This isn't what I expected to happen. How am I going to handle it? And something that I have found really interesting is I'm learning that when these things happen, it's not necessarily a denial of what your plan was originally meant to be, but a reposition of what the new plan could be. So in that, I have found that just by shifting my perspective in terms of how I see, you know, the shift in the plan and the new opportunities that I'm now being presented with, as opposed to new obstacles that I'm unsure about, it's completely flipped how I've been able to handle those things. And because of that, I've started to actually enjoy kind of the unpredictability of how it's going to go, because I know it's going to work out, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're just trusting in God and his plan.
Yeah, 100%. No, it's wild because, you know, this actually, it reminds me about back when I was training as an Olympic weightlifter. And my original plan for so long was to make Team USA. So like when I started training right off the get-go, that was my life. I wanted to make a world team and represent Team USA. And so my entire life became about training. You know, the food that I ate was weighed. I would train X amount of hours a day. I had mental training in the morning. If I wasn't training, I was recovering, like no social life. And that was my life for, I want to say like 2 years. And it wasn't until, you know, my two coaches, I was coached by, you know, Sage Bergner and Mike Bergner, who are both amazing. But there was a point when I was doing so well, my body was progressing so quick that my mind couldn't really keep up. And I actually got to a point where I plateaued quite a bit. And granted, you know, there's different times within the quad where you have to make certain totals in order to qualify for certain things. When I plateaued, I was so far from making that total that it wasn't really realistic anymore. And I remember the day that I went to Mike and I asked him, you know, is this possible? Is this still in the cards for me? And I wanted his honest opinion. And he flat out said, no, it's not. And I remember feeling so gutted. Like my whole identity was weightlifting. What am I going to do? Like, this is all I know. How is my life going to look from here? My circle was weightlifters. It was all about weightlifting. And I think everything was chaos. So I decided to kind of go a different route, and I needed to get some order in my life. And so the only thing that I could think back to is coaching and how I know how to coach. If there's one thing I know how to do, it's I know how to coach. So that's when I went back into a gym and I decided to, I don't know if I committed to a team right off the bat. I did not commit to a team right off the bat, but then I ended up committing later.
I feel like you didn't, because I remember talking about it when you made this decision. I remember we chatted about it a little bit and you were like, I'm just, you know, I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing yet, but I'm back in the cheer world.
Right. And originally, because I was still, you know, even after he told me that, I wasn't quite finished. I went into this mindset of like, I'm going to prove him wrong. I'm going to prove that I have what it takes and I can do it. So in the time that I was also still not mentally where I needed to be, I decided to go back into a gym and I was just doing like stunt and tumble days. So I was helping out with teams that were already established, but I wasn't necessarily coaching a team just yet. And then I met my best friend, Jermaine, who is a character. And right off the bat, we knew we wanted to coach together. And the following season is actually when we took on our first team together for the full season. And it's crazy how in that first, I want to say like month, I went from being so discouraged. Like my identity was so wrapped up in one thing. Weightlifting is all I knew. Now I wasn't going to make this team that my whole life was about. And started to step into a different role and realizing that I was finding so much more fulfillment in doing something that was bigger than just myself. And I think to tie into your question with this super long answer, I think to kind of, you know, tie it all back, I think it's more anytime that you take a step back and don't make it all about you, but think about how can I be of service to somebody else to make someone else's life better? Or how can I learn from this to be a better version of myself, to be a better coach, whatever, you know, role that may be for yourself. It allows you to have more gratitude in what happened and not be so upset and bitter and resentful.
Right. What do you feel has been the most surprising thing you've learned about yourself through this setback?
I am super adaptable. That is one thing that I will say. You know, one thing as coaches, we get really good at kind of just making things work on the fly. So I wouldn't say that that was crazy different, but I'm stepping into a role. I've been so used to being stationary and being in one place for so long. And so this new role that I'm stepping into involves me networking and traveling everywhere. And you don't know where you're going to go. You don't know how long you're going to be there. You don't know who you're going to go visit, who you're going to meet. And although on one side of things, it's scary, on the flip side, it's also so fun because you get to meet all these people and learn all these things and be in all these environments. And, you know, every environment is different. And to be put in those places and then to be told, hey, this is the expectation. this is what you have, make it work. It's been cool to kind of see myself figure it out with things that I normally would never have to figure out. So that's been a really cool haha moment.
What can you tell us about any of the doors that have opened up since overcoming your setback?
Yeah. So I actually, you know, when everything happened, something that has been kind of in the works is I've known Callie Seitzer and Sean Guzman for a while, and they've always been kind of like Callie in particular has always been kind of like a mentor in terms of, you know, tumbling. We're both little tumble gurus and,
yes, you know, they were recently at a conference we were at.
Yes.
And fell in love with them, fell in love with their coaching style. Mm-hmm. We took home so many drills back to our gym that we have incorporated and honestly really flipped the way we do a lot of our tumbling stuff after hearing what they had to say. Because so much of it was just, that makes sense. Okay, let's implement that.
Yeah. No, totally. Every time we have a conversation, I feel like I don't know anything about tumbling because there's just so much knowledge and they can explain it in such a different way. You're just like, whoa, this is so cool. It's so interesting.
Right.
And so about, I want to say like 2 years ago, it was not super recent. It was like 2 years ago. I remember, you know, Callie came out and taught a coach's training and did a clinic at our gym. And her and I kind of got to talking about skill transfer and, you know, some of the things that our sport could be better at in terms of training to make athletes well-rounded and to make tumbling stronger and injury prevention and all those things. And there was a point when we both just kind of like nerded out over it. And ever since, you know, that was kind of like that was our topic of conversation, but it became normal for us to just stay in contact consistently. And there was a point when I had mentioned to her, like, you know, I'd really love to travel and, you know, do something different than what I'm doing, just because I'm so used to being in my little comfort zone and staying in one place and working with one team. I've done that for so long that just the thought of traveling and networking and meeting different people and, you know, learning more and spreading what I've learned, to me was just so enticing, scary, but enticing.
Right. But you can't stay in your comfort zone. That's not where we grow.
100%.
That's not where the good things happen. Everything, your comfort zone is here. Everything good happens outside of it.
Right. And I remember her and I were talking about it and she's like, well, you know, if there's ever a point when you're ready, we could, that's actually something that I did for a long time. And she shared her experiences and, you know, what she learned and what she was able to do and how she was able to help in different communities. And I just thought it was super cool. And so at some point I had mentioned, you know, I would love to explore that if you're willing to guide me and help me and do all the things. And she said, yeah, whenever you're ready. So it was really cool because when the changes to my original plan happened, she was the first person that I thought to call to be like, you know what, maybe I need to try something different. And sure enough, I called her up and I was like, hey, this is what's going on. I would love to just try. I'm ready. And she was like, all right, well, let's get started. So we did plan to do this at some point, but it just happened a little bit quicker. And she was awesome. I mean, she's also one of the most adaptable, go with the flow, I'll make it work people I've ever met in my life. So she was able to be like, well, you know, let me see what I have. Let me reach out or look at the clients that have reached out. And it's an interesting time of year because everyone's getting ready for Summit and Worlds.
Right.
So no one's really looking for clinics right now. That's not really high up on their priority list. So it's more about, you know, whatever we have, and we'll make something work and you'll go wherever. And the good thing is, in international countries right now, a lot of them are actually in their summertime.
Right.
So like that was a possible other avenue, which is still a big possibility. So it's been fun because I'm now in a position where I can meet all these people that I would have never met before just because we're in such different places. And it's allowed me to be more open-minded in terms of what I know and what I've always known.
Okay. What has been your favorite place you visited so far?
Man, I have to say Stingrays. I really do. I have to say Stingrays. And here's the thing. You know, I love Casey Jones, the owner. He's amazing. And I'm not, in all honesty, I'm not like a big name gym person. Like
for the fans that are not cheer people, The Stingray All-Stars is, it's equivalent to like a celebrity type cheerleading team if you're not from the cheer world. Right. They are a big name. They have tons of world championship titles. People like, we fangirl over their large all-girl team. Everyone loves Orange. So like, just for the non-cheer people out there, just know Stingrays is a big deal.
Right. Very well established. They've been around for a long time. And whenever you go into an environment like that, like, you almost expect to just kind of be a shadow, right? Because they have a way of doing things and it's working, obviously. Okay. You're not really going in to help, so to speak.
Right.
You're just, we're here. Okay. So my expectation going into that was very much, I'm going to go in, you know, I do know some people, so we'll hang out. I'm just here to be a cheerleader for the coaches. We're just kind of here. And it was so cool because, you know, their director, Roger, and all the other coaches, as soon as I walked in, they were so welcoming. Like, there was no, you would think that there'd be more of like, no, like, stay out of the way, or like, this is how we do it, blah, 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 blah. It just wasn't like that. Everybody was very much like, hey, if there's anything that you notice, please say something about it. You know, or what do you think? Or, hey, can you pick a stunt group? We're going to do these drills and we need you to look at this thing. And it was so cool because they had every reason to kind of just stay in their bubble and let me just be another body. But they weren't like that at all. They were very much like, no, come get involved, come work with us. And I was fortunate enough, one of the coaches of Orange, her name's Chloe, she's hilarious, such a great gal. I've known her since last summer. She actually invited me over to come hang out at their practice. And kind of the same expectation, I was expecting to go and just be like, go Orange, you're doing great, you know, we're here. And it was cheer sport week, so it's a crazy week. And for people who don't know, cheer sport is like one of the bigger events during the season. Mm-hmm. So it also means that the gym is pretty crazy. Any gym you're at, it's probably crazy if you're going to cheer sport. So, you know, and it was, there was a point when I remember I went in and they're like, oh, these are all the world's teams. And I was like, listen, you know how big this gym is? This is full of world's teams. It was insane. Absolutely.
No, the pictures of that gym are wild. There's like, what, like 8 different floors in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wild. I couldn't imagine walking into a gym and just be like, so I'm on floor A today.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Well, and I cannot imagine that.
Right. And it's wild because they have 2 different locations. So like, some days a team might be in one location and then another day they're at the other location. And it's within a pretty short distance, but like, that's how big and crazy it is. So, you know, I'm in there and there's all these world's teams and I'm just kind of there. And it, right off the bat, like, the kids were so open to feedback, super receptive. The coaches, you know, anytime there was anything that I noticed, they were encouraging me to go say something. So it was just so cool to be in a space where they clearly have it all figured out. They know what they're doing. They're successful. And for them to still be open-minded to somebody completely new coming in, for the kids to be open-minded to someone completely new coming in, because that's not new for them. Like, that, right. It's not crazy for them to have somebody random come in and just be another body. So there's no trust there. They don't know me. They don't know what I do. So for those kids to be so receptive and respectful, I just thought it was a true testament to the environment and how they do things. Granted, I was only there for a week, so, you know, still surfaced. But with that being said, I was so impressed. And by the time the week was over, I felt like I had been there for like a month.
We were all like fangirling over your stories every day.
Oh, with Orange. I know, they're so, and you know, it's so, it's great because you would think like these girls, and to give some perspective, like this particular team, large all girl, the division large all girl, senior large all girl, level 6 is like a cutthroat division. It's been around forever. Everybody knows like the 4 or 5 teams that are in it. Everybody's good.
Right. You will get to Worlds and it could literally be anyone's game.
Anybody.
And they're all good. And they're all going to score within tenths of each other.
100%. And you, it's like, it's who has the better day.
Right.
And there's so much respect there because you're just like, man, like to hold your own in this division is insane. So I'm expecting like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like these like cutthroat, like just really serious, like over the top kids, and they are the most like laid back, go with the flow, like I'm here to get my job done, I'm still gonna do what I'm supposed to, but they truly love what they do. And something that Roger had mentioned was he's like, you know what, these kids, this truly is just what they do. Like, they have other lives. They have family, they have friends, like they have school. There's, we want them to still live their life and still do this because they love to do it, not because they feel like they have to or have this pressure that they have to win worlds. So I thought like just having that perspective was great because I think that shifts to how the team handles pressure and how they handle just training in general.
Yes.
So it was cool. It was a really cool, like by the end of it, I was just like, hey, y'all, like just came. I ended up going backstage for cheer sport, which how I got back there, wild. That's a whole other story. Thanks, Brandon. But even backstage, like they were the most low key, like one of them had a stuffed animal they were pulling around and it was hilarious. They were cracking jokes. They were dancing.
It's so funny that you say that because I think I took a picture of, I screenshotted something of a world's team who had little stuffed animals because our older, we have stuffed animals in our gym. It's something our kids do. It's actually, we go back to the tradition we did with you guys when we would do the hearts and we would open up the Build-A-Bears and stuff them in there. Everyone has theirs. And our oldest team in the gym, they're like teenagers getting ready, like middle school, high school. And their parents were like, so when are we getting rid of this thing? And I was like, you guys, I tried to get rid of their mascot 2 years ago. They told me.
Yeah, they won't let you.
Every year I try and get rid of it. And they're like, well, why don't we get one? And so I love to hear that even these like 17, 18, even like older kids, even the adult teams, they all have a mascot. It never goes away.
Yeah.
Even it's just something they that those teams incorporate into their entire season.
It just makes it fun. And there was even a point when like one of the coaches, there was even a point one of the coaches was like walking it. He was walking around with it and he was walking it. Like we had to go adjust it because it was like going on its side. And it looked all crazy. And he would just adjust it. And like, this is a full grown man just walking with the animal. And the kids love it. Love it.
Whatever it takes to make your kids have a good day, like coaches are willing to do any of it.
100%.
Let's backtrack a little bit. And what would you say is your favorite memory of us? Like being on one of my teams or being coached by me or just being in my program. What would you say is one of your favorite memories?
Okay, I do have one. It's going to sound traumatic, but it's not. So I remember there was a point. So I like busted my knee. We all thought I was out for the season, but I refused. Okay. So I was like,
Wait, let me remind people how she busted her knee.
Oh my gosh.
This girl busted her knee doing a leprechaun jump after we told her, hey, don't do that. Hey, don't do that. Hey, Megan, don't do that.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to shed some light. It was Char and I. And it was, we did like this leprechaun jump. She's right. That's accurate. But I remember like there was a point, the team thought it was the funniest thing. So there was one point when Jasmine suggested that we do it. She's like, I'm going to get a picture. And we were like, yes, absolutely. Get a picture. So we go to jump and I went a little bit before her. And for a moment I was like, I'm just going to wait. Yeah. Gravity doesn't work that way. So then I come down, my foot gets locked. I dislocate it, whatever. Couldn't walk. Refused to go to the hospital because I knew that I was going to be out. We competed like what, 2 weeks later? It was literally like 2 weeks later. And I remember you guys pulled me out. I was so upset. And then I was like, look, I can jump on it. And you were working me back in. And then it happened again. And then I was like out. I was unwell. Yeah. But then, so fast forward, I think it was like 2 months later. It was 2 months later. I would still show up to every practice. I did random conditioning on the side. I was just there. I was another body. Okay. Well, I remember it was like the day before the practice before we were going to some event. And one of our athletes, one of your athletes, strained her back. She was doing like a back handspring. Just something weird. It was like a freak moment. And she couldn't put her hands above her head. And so you looked over and you were like, all right, Meg. Here we go. And at that point I was like, whatever, because I wanted to go back, but like there was no real timeline. So really we were just there. So I was like, okay, yeah, for sure. And so I remember I walk in and I was like, okay, well, these are her passes. Cause I hadn't really tumbled. And I was like, well, these are her passes. Do you want me to like do those passes? And you're like, well, are those the passes in the routine? And I was like, yeah. You're like, well, then, yeah, that's what I want you to do. I want you to do those passes. And I was like, okay.
I'm sure I asked you more questions before this. I'm sure I asked, can you do them? Are you able to? And are you
I'm sure. I think it was more like, we knew I was able.
I'm sure that.
Yes. I'm sure we knew I was able to because I was still functioning. Like, it wasn't like I was literally just like stationary. I was still functioning. Right. I hadn't really done much on the floor, but it was also one of those things where like, I knew that I would be fine. I was just scared. Right. And you were just like, well, you know, we got it. And I was like, okay, well, you know, cause I'm going to do it. Like, if you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. And I remember going to that event and I was so scared. And there was one that she had, she did like a round off tuck from the back to the front. And I knew, I was like, if you eat crap right now, it's going to be in front of everybody. And I was so scared. I remember doing it and coming off the floor and I was like, oh my gosh, I landed. And you were like, see, nothing but a thing. And we just moved right on. And it was just, and it's one of my favorite memories.
Because we knew you could all do it. You had the highest rebound in the entire world I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's true. I was being super dramatic. But I just remember that performance being done, and I have never been more excited. I was so happy. It was good, though. Your response was perfect. You sound just like me now. Because that's exactly what I would say.
Great.
Did you do it? Great.
Now you can do it again.
That's one of my favorite memories.
You were so fun. Megan was so stubborn.
I was so stubborn.
So stubborn, but like, we love that. And I love to see you getting the payback now.
Oh, 100%. It's the only reason I know how to deal with it. Definitely stubborn. But I think it's been really interesting because I have had athletes that respond just like how I did in some situations. And it's been cool to be like, oh, yeah.
What are some achievements or milestones in your career that you're super proud of?
The first one would be I had a U3. They're my little Ninja Turtles. And I would say the day that they hit zero. So in the beginning of the season, they were like a little struggle bus team. They were. So they, you know, they all came in with tucks, barely. And by the end of the season, they looked like seasoned level 3 athletes. And to watch that happen was honestly like the most rewarding process. So not only did their confidence grow, they got better. They looked like completely different kids. I would say that's one of them. The second one would be this season, actually, I had a group of kiddos, and it's not just me, it's a group effort. You know, there's other people that play a part. So I'll say more so that I'm a part of it, and I'm fortunate enough to still work with these kids. But there's a group of kids that I coach who I've had since that turtle year who just made the youth all-girl international world team for USA. And for that to happen, you know, it's kind of insane because, you know, there's a small percentage of kids that can handle their own in that way and can be that top 3%. So for us to just go for it and for 5 of those kids to make it was insane. Absolutely insane. And then I'd say the next thing that I'm really proud of that I've achieved is I've gotten to a point where I'm now coaching from more of an empathetical standpoint instead of an egotistical standpoint. And I think for the longest time, coaching was a way to prove my worth and how good of a coach I was. If they win, it's because I'm good at this. If they don't, it's because I'm not. And because of that, I would coach from that perspective. You know, I wouldn't be as patient, or I would demand a little bit more perfection as opposed to enjoy the process and take the little moments of things that matter and make that the highlight of what was going on that season. And when I was empathetic, it allowed me to see them first as humans before athletes, get to know them on a personal level. I want to know what's going on in school. I want to know what's going on in your home life. I want to know, you know, how you handle pressure, I want to know all the things. And that allowed me to connect with my athletes to a completely different level. And then I was able to figure out, you know, how they operate, what works, what doesn't work, how I can talk to them, how I can't talk to them, what they're receptive to, what they're not receptive to. And it allowed me to elevate my coaching to a completely different level. And I thought that that was really cool to notice in myself.
I love that. Absolutely love that. Mm. Like, it's super rewarding. I think it's a great way to coach. And I think it's something that a lot of coaches could benefit from learning.
Right.
Like, I mean, I feel like my thought process on coaching is Like, I can teach you how to win championships, but what are you going to be like once you walk out these doors? Because cheerleading doesn't
hundred
forever. We don't.
Right.
I don't. I, when you were on my team, we won all the time. The teams in our gym
right.
won all the time. And I will tell you that those rings, those jackets, they got thrown in the trash.
100%.
And yeah. But what I take from that is that so many of you guys are amazing humans. And right. that will be any, for me, that is better than any trophy we've ever won.
Yeah.
Because you guys are out in the world as successful coaches, successful doctors, successful mothers. Just watching you guys succeed at life is way more.
Right.
Like in here, in my heart, like than any.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you what we won.
Yeah, it really is crazy to think about. And I feel like it's so common for athletes to attach their identity with their sport. So like when cheer isn't going well, and I just had a talk with a kiddo about this the other day, when cheer isn't going well, the world is ending. When I'm not doing something right in cheer, if I'm not throwing a certain level or a skill within a certain level, or if I don't make a certain team, then it's because I'm XYZ. And it's all these negative things. And that's just not true. Cheer is what you do. Right. It's not who you are. And when kids aren't able to separate that, or a coach is not able to separate that, the approach to how the season is handled and the way that you train and the way that you handle pressure and the way that you handle setbacks or, you know, not winning is completely different. And instead of it being an opportunity to learn or grow or just be better, it becomes all of these negative things. I'm not good at this. I've never been good at this. I'm never going to be good at this until I get this level. It's because I'm just, you know, I'm not elite. Whatever negative thing you have in your mind, it will not change until you remove yourself and you start realizing you are a whole person.
Right.
Without this sport. And this is just what makes you happy that you enjoy doing. And usually when kiddos can kind of decipher like, oh, this is just what I do. It's not who I am. It lets them know there's a life outside of the sport, because you will go on past this sport. If you choose to stay involved, great. But even when you choose to stay involved, you'll still have other things in your life outside of the sport.
Yes. And the great thing about it is the things that you will learn in this sport, you will carry to every other aspect of your life.
Right.
So learning to show up on time, learning to wear the correct practice wear,
right.
learning that your hair has to be a specific way,
right.
learning to work as a team,
yep.
learning how to accept defeat. Mm-hmm. So many things in this sport set you up for a successful life. And I truly think it's why you see a lot of successful people come out of our sport once they leave it.
Absolutely.
Or even if they stay in it, if they stay in it and their coaches like you and I, you still see success because of the things we've learned as athletes.
Right. Exactly.
How do you approach your future goals and aspirations given the experiences you've experienced up to this point?
My main goal would be to create a program that involves integrated training or cross training that could help lower the percentage of injuries in our sport. And by making athletes well-rounded and tapping into kind of a different way that we train, I think that we can alter, not just alter, but increase the power output of the athletes in our sport. Yes, reduce injury, but also make them well-rounded to the point that you're going to see a completely different outcome in the way that they perform. And one example of that is in our sport, we do a lot of push motion. So there's a lot of blocking, or whenever kids tumble, they're pushing their bodies in the direction that they're trying to go, or they're pushing up a stunt into the air, or they're throwing a stunt into the air. We don't do a lot of pull motions, which is a completely different set of muscle groups. And because we don't do that, there's this whole imbalance in the body. And when that happens, a lot of other things are affected. Your power output is affected. So the amount of, you know, momentum and speed that you build is going to be different. Even if you master the technique, I mean, that will absolutely help. That's kind of what's supposed to carry you anyways. The moment that you're tired, you're going to see a change. And so to have that little bit of an edge by increasing your power output, it basically prolongs that fatigue a little bit longer. And then by the time you reach it, because you have technique, you're able to actually use that to your advantage, as opposed to have that be the only thing that you rely on to get you through a routine or get you through a crazy hard pass. So in the attempt to try to make athletes well-rounded, we're also learning that there's a whole other side of potential that we're just waiting to kind of unravel.
Love that. I can't wait to see it and learn from it.
Yeah, no, and you know, it just kind of dabbling into it. I know there was a summer when the owner of Intensity Athletics, I had went to her and I was like, hey, I have this idea. You know, this is something that I notice. Can we try this program over the summer and see, just through working different body mechanics and trying these skill transfer exercises, if it actually makes a difference? Will it improve the kids' power output? Will they feel a difference in how their bodies operate just going through a routine? How will full outs be from here on out? And she was like, yeah, go ahead and give it a go. And so the entire summer, I had all the teams follow this program. But then I also had this little group of guinea pig athletes who basically would just show up and just try different things for me. So I'd put them through, yeah, it was super cool. I'd put them through like all these different stimuluses just to see like, okay, well, how do your legs feel? Okay, how does your tumbling look after we do this? Did you feel these muscle groups firing? And I learned so much. A lot of it was great. Some of it didn't work, which was great to know because I didn't implement it. But just through that trial and error and watching the progression of how it translated to our elite program, by the end of the summer, the power output and our kids tumbling almost doubled. Our injury, like the way that their bodies felt, our injury rate, I think, went down by like 96%. Like everybody felt great. Their ability to recover was faster. They felt stronger. I remember the day we did show, it was our first showcase after that summer. Our main goal going into it was we didn't want full outs to be the hardest thing in a practice anymore. We wanted the training outside of the actual routine to be the new hard part of practice. And I remember we went to showcase and we you know, the kids did all their routines and this team came up. It was one of our senior teams because we were very vocal. How do you guys feel? You know, how is this going? And as soon as they got off, they walked over and they were like, oh my gosh, full outs aren't hard anymore. And it was, listen, an aha moment. We all freaked out. Yes, freaked out. Now, granted, it was great. And they were like, oh, we're not afraid anymore. And we had this moment when we realized like this is working. And that's kind of when, I mean, I was obsessed with it before, but then I was like gung-ho on trying to find the new, most effective way to incorporate this type of training in a time-effective manner with what people would use at a regular cheer gym because they might not have all the equipment or they might not have the time to do as much as we were doing. So it became this new project. And I think long-term, if we're able to narrow it down to a certain time frame that is sustainable throughout the season, that isn't going to impact their bodies while they're going through comp season, but is only going to contribute and still maximize what it can do to help further them along, that's kind of the end goal at some point.
Love that. I can't wait to see it. If it's a training system, I would buy it. So like, use that to what you will, because I'm sure I'm not the only coach who would love to implement something like that.
Yeah, before. Great to know. That is the goal.
What advice would you give to others who are dealing with setbacks or challenges in their career?
You know, I think the big one would be you're not being denied, you're being repositioned. The next one would be stick to what you know. Stick to what you know and stick to who you are as a person. Because I think anytime something happens that we don't expect or we're forced to alter our life plans or step into something that's unfamiliar or into a role that we don't feel qualified for, one of the best things that we could do is just stay true to ourselves, you know, have integrity, stay true to your moral compass, be kind to people, give your best effort. And regardless of whatever the outcome may be, at least you know that you stayed true to you and that whatever happens is just going to happen and it's going to be okay. And even if you can't see the bigger picture right now, with time you will. It's not permanent. It's very temporary. And as long as you just keep doing what you know and being a good person, it's going to be okay. It's going to work out.
Okay, well, here is the fun part of the episode. I turn it over to you.
Okay.
And you get to ask me anything you want. and I'm in the hot seat.
Oh my gosh. I didn't prepare. Okay. This is impromptu. Okay. Okay. I would say, I mean, I would ask you some of these similar questions. What do you feel like was a turning point in your coaching career? Like, when did you notice you've always been one way? You've always seen things one way. And then at this point in your career, you were like, you know what? I see this differently now, or I can approach this differently now. At what point did you see a shift in yourself as a coach?
I would say I saw a shift when I came back to coaching. I came back to All-Star. So after I stopped coaching at PCM and I was like, you know what? I'm done with All-Star World for a while. This isn't what I meant to do. This is not for me anymore. I coached high school for a few years. It was fun. I loved that I got to have creativity and get to have, wasn't so structured by a score sheet.
Right.
And the things that had to be in a routine, I got to actually have creative fun. But when I came back, I approached things so differently because I wasn't just a coach in a program. I was now a director of a program.
Right.
It was a program building that honestly just fell into my lap because we had no plan to ever open a program with Dream Extreme. It was just like, I have these people bugging me for private lessons. They really want them. And then it was like, okay, we kind of see that something could happen here. So let's do a little performance team. Performance team turned into a half-year team. 5 years later, we're in our own building. We have 8 teams and, you know, a ton of athletes that walk through the door. And I think that ever since it was my program and it was something I was building, I took everything from every other place I coached and took the things that didn't go well at those programs, the things that did go well, and meshed them together. And that is really when I saw a turning point of this is the coach I want to be, because it's, you know, I can coach the way I want to, and I can coach from a place of, you know, I get that we want to win, but winning is not the only thing. Mm. And I feel like you, I have a little bit more of an empathetic feeling for the kids when they're not having a good day or when they're sick or, you know, when something else is going on. I try to be a little bit more empathetic versus like, we need to do this because we need to win.
Right. Totally. Well, and it's so cool because I remember when you first opened it, like I was so psyched because I knew, like, first of all, I know how good you are at this, but it was really cool because I know like you are so passionate. And when you first, like, when this happened, I just remember being so excited. I saw it on Instagram and I was like, yes, absolutely. This is it. She's gonna thrive. And then watching you every year, like, you guys just get better every single year. And I just told you the last time I was out, which was a few weeks ago, you have developed your own style and it's clear. It's clear. And the kids, like the way that you guys talk to each other, and it was just so cool. Like, you're truly building something different and you're in a really competitive area. You are not in the middle of nowhere.
No, we are not. We are surrounded by All-Star gyms.
Yes. And not just like All-Star gyms, heavy hitters.
Yeah.
You really are. And you hold your own. You really do. And the kids are happy. And I just think it's so cool to sit back and just watch it happen over the past 5 years, because just knowing you as a person, I just think like you really deserve what's happening right now, and it's all paying off. And it's just so cool. It is so cool.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way watching your story and how everything's unfolded for you. And when you were at Stingrays, I was like, oh my gosh, like Megan, I am so proud. Like, so proud to see you doing what you're doing. Cause you know, no matter how old you guys get, we still watch.
Yeah.
We still follow and we're still proud.
Right. I'm so glad that you said that, because it made me think. I realized this year that, like, so my first team ever that I coached, my first All-Star team that I ever coached, was in like 15, 16. Yeah. And I want to say like 80% of those kids are either married with their own babies.
Yes.
or well established into their careers. And it was the first time that I was like, wow, it is the most like surreal thing. Right. It is so crazy. Right. And I will tell you, kind of playing off of what you said earlier, it really is so rewarding. Mm-hmm. Like, it is way better to watch them thrive doing all these cool jobs and like being moms and having families. You're just like, oh, they're not babies anymore. And they're doing so good. They're doing so good. Oh, what is your long-term goal in this industry? Like, what would be your long-term goal for Dream Extreme? Like, what is your picture perfect everything?
Oh man, I don't think I've ever been asked that, or do I have an answer prepared? But
yes.
Really, really, I just want to see our program grow and flourish and stay true to our core values of our gym. And I really, truly think that we have something so special because our coaching staff is truly special, and we are,
yeah,
we can communicate with each other. We can, whether it's good or bad, we can,
yeah,
work with each other as a team. And that is a direct reflection onto our kids. So I would just love to see us continue to all grow together, grow the program. I want to see, you know, I don't know that I ever, like, I'm not a big, like, we have to have this level and this level, but I would love to see some kids take the world stage with, you know, my logo across their chest. And,
yeah,
you know, I just truly just want to see it grow and have it still be full of love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, our gym is full of so much love, and I hope that doesn't ever leave.
Like, the family feel. Well, I feel like because you guys are such a tight-knit staff and you have so much history and you know how to communicate, and it's not like nobody's afraid to have a difference of opinion or to speak up about an idea. I feel like that really sets the tone in terms of trust with your kiddos. Because when they see that you guys communicate and have that with each other, they feel safe enough to have that with you and with their teammates.
Yes. And I will say that this is the first year we've hired outside of our circle.
Yeah.
And it was almost a little scary because I was like, I hope that it doesn't become a thing where, you know, there's like us and then them.
Yeah.
But really, like, even having a new person in the circle, they have even expressed like, wow, this gym is so inclusive. It feels like home. And it's like, that's awesome to hear from an outside voice coming into our gym. And now who is a part of our staff as well.
Right. Well, and it's harder.
Yeah.
And this is where I'll apply too, because it's actually a harder approach to have that type of environment with your staff and with your kids, because a lot of people, it's easier to take the approach of like, we're fear-based. So this is how we do things. You don't question it. You know, this is what you do. It is what it is. We don't really care how you feel about it. This is what we see to be the most successful. And to a degree, you're going to have a system. It's not to say that it's wrong to have a system. Right. Everybody has a system. And once you figure that out and it works for you, you should stick to it. But I think just to have that extra little bit of room to be like, okay, but what do you think? How do you feel about it? How are you feeling? Just having that open line of communication allows you to connect, communicate, and create something so much bigger than it would be if you just stuck to one plan with, you know, with one system. You can just bounce ideas, and it's such a gift. So if your staff is in a position where they feel that way and you feel that way, it just makes it fun. How do you feel like coaching has directly translated in some way to your personal life outside of the gym?
I feel like, so when I decided to come back to All Star, my number one rule for myself was that it's not allowed to be the only thing you do. Because when I coached before, I was 150% all in. I never missed a single practice. I gave up time with my own family. I missed a lot. And my rule going back in was you can do this because you love it and clearly you are meant to do it, but you have to still continue to do things for yourself. Not give up those opportunities, not give up those vacations, not give up those memories because of other people's kids. And I will say that's something that I
yes
do still struggle with sometimes, but I will say that there are other things in my life that I do still continue to do. So like pageantry is a really big one. That takes up a ton of my time, and it's something I'm also passionate about. But I make sure that I don't miss my meetings with my coach, and I will move around my private lessons for them because that's something that's important to me. And not only is it making me a better, not making me better in pageantry, also makes me a better person. And then I still continue to dive. And there are sometimes today, for instance, there's a dive that I have had for over 2 years. And today my body could not figure out where it was in the air. And I will say that those instances, I think back to my kids and I'm like, if one of my athletes was standing in the corner and was not able to throw their pass, I wouldn't let them give up. That's not an option. So I smacked 3 times, but I still got up 4 more times to do it correctly because that's what I would expect of my kids. I take a lot of their experiences and I try to put myself in their shoes as much as I can so then I can be a better coach for them.
I'm so happy you brought that up because it's true. And I remember I had a conversation with a really brilliant, knowledgeable mind in our industry. And something he told me is he's like, Megan, this cannot be your life. Coaching cannot be your life. You will lose yourself. You will lose yourself. And it really hit me when I remember there was one time my family, like I was trying to get hold of my mom randomly one weekend and she wasn't answering. I was like, what the heck? What's going on? And then I come to find out my family was on a camping trip. And I was like, why did nobody tell me about this camping trip? And my mom's response was, well, we know that your schedule is really busy. So we didn't want to inconvenience you. So we just we knew you probably wouldn't be able to go. And it was one of the first times that I was like, wow. I never thought that I would be at a point in my life when my family just assumed I wasn't available for them. And then there was one other time, it was Christmas of this year, actually. It was the first time that being away from my family on holidays, actually, isn't that crazy? Because I've lived away from family for so long. So I've always found a way. But this was the first time that I was away on my own, by myself, not in a sad way because I still had a great day. Okay. A great day. But the point being, I wasn't able to go home in order to prep some kiddos for an event coming up. And that was just, that's what needed to happen. And I remember sitting there on Christmas Day and I was like, I never thought that I would be the person to not be with my loved ones because of my commitment to work. And although, the intention was good and yes, it was necessary, I decided on that day, literally 3 months ago, that I will never be in that position again. That is not how I want to live. And so I'm really glad that you brought that up because I feel like it is so easy for coaches to just invest their whole life and put everything on the back burner and then wonder what happens. Like these kids will go on. They will. They will go on. They will get married. They will, they'll go on to do whatever they're going to do for their life and they're going to live the life that they're meant to live. But if you just only invest in their life, there's nothing happening in yours. And you're going to feel really empty and lost. And when you decide, let's say that you decide to maybe go a different route, what are you doing?
Right.
You're now starting from the beginning. So I think that's so important to remind coaches, especially young coaches, to not make this their life. They have to have something outside of this that they do. Either it's working out or spending time with your loved ones. Do not ditch your friends. Do not ditch your friends. I ditched my friends for a long time and I have the best friends. I really do. I have and they were the most understanding. They understood. They knew my schedule. They knew when I wasn't available. They get it. I've had them forever. But then I finally got to a point where I was like, I don't want to miss. I call them my niece and nephews because we're like family. I don't want to miss my niece and nephew's birthday. I don't want to not be there on their birthday. Although they expect it, that's not what I want to do anymore.
Right.
And it completely changed the way that I live my life. So a message to all young coaches or coaches that are deep in the industry who might forget this, do not give up your own life.
And that's not to say that we are not committed by any means. We are so incredibly committed. I still miss very few practices, but when I do, it is for something important, just like, you know, anyone else. Like, even though our job does involve a lot of people, it is still important that we also get days off when we need them.
Take care of you. Because if you don't, like, you will be so depleted. It's also not sustainable long-term just with what we do. Because what we do is year-round. And people don't talk about
it. Slept in your wonder, bed
like,
for a while.
Oh my gosh, it's February. And
you
feel like
you are exhausted, I but this you right still
now.
Push.
Like, there's a little bit of time when you're like, I don't know if I want to do this right now. Because you're so emotionally drained. Like, then, or a moment of the season when it feels really hard. But it doesn't change the fact that if there is nothing else in your life, it is so out of balance. And when you go to take a moment to be like, I need to take a step back and just think about me, you're not going to know where to start. And it's going to feel like an eternity, eternity while you go through that little block in the season.
I know. I've had a couple people be like, well, you're almost done. There's only a month left. And I'm like, yes. There is only a month left in this current season. However, we start right back up.
So exactly.
It doesn't really matter. I'm just tired all the time.
Yes, exactly. And it's like the hardest month. In case you're wondering, it's like the most stressful month because it is the last month. Because then you're gearing up for next season.
Yes.
You're finishing up all the final events and you're putting the final touches on this routine. And you also haven't slept in like 3 years. And you just... It's so much. It is so much.
But, like, we love it. I could not imagine my life without it. Of the times that I've been like, oh, yeah, that's it. I'm done. I'm like, we're not doing this. And, like, my best friend will be like, yeah, so that's a lie. We all know, like, you tried to quit once. Right. It's your, no, look where you're at. But also, like, truth be told, I would never, ever leave.
No, you just need a break. You just need a break to, like, decompress for a minute because it's just a lot of, it's a lot. You just go, go, go all the time. And I feel like because we're expected to always make it work, coaches in general are always expected to make it work, regardless of the circumstance or what's going on. I feel like sometimes parents or people forget that we're also human.
Yes.
With very real emotions. So there's moments when it's like, hey, everything's crashing, but you got it. And you're like, I do. But I don't wanna. That's where you get to.
Yeah.
That's where you get to.
Like, I just wanna cry, but I'm not allowed to cry because if I cry,
but like, I'm not well, but I'm gonna do it. Like, that's just how.
But that goes back to, you know, what we learned in the sport is that no matter what, we can still push and we're going to, and we can still push and still have a positive outcome.
Exactly.
Well, it has been absolutely fabulous having you on the podcast today, and I appreciate you taking the time out to talk to us and talk to us about your experiences and everything, and thank you. Coming on the podcast, sister, and letting me torture you with all those questions for a little bit.
Thanks for having me, sister, anytime.
I hope today's episode has inspired you. And I look forward to sharing more inspiring stories and interviews with you on the next episode of Break the Mold. Have a fabulous day, and don't forget, you can be defeated or you can be determined. You've got this.